go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. We're joined by Dr. Peter Pham. He is one of our duty experts on Africa. He is the director of the Atlantic Council's Africa Center and has been one of the country's preeminent authorities on the continent for many years, serving as an advisor to all kinds of folks, including U.S. Africa Command. He is the author, among others, of Somalia, Fixing Africa's Most Failed State. Peter, I'm not sure that that distinction, dubious though it may be, is still Somalia's, but let's talk a little bit about what's happening on the continent. Welcome back. Good to have you back.
Frank, it's always a pleasure to speak with you.
My contender for that, as I say, dubious distinction at the moment is South Sudan. Peter, tell us what's happening there now and what its prospects are going forward.
Well, ironically, this past weekend, South Sudan would have celebrated the fifth anniversary of its independence, but there was hardly much. There was no celebration. One, because they couldn't afford a celebration. They've become so destitute, but more pressingly, because last week, unfortunately, fighting broke out again between rival forces, some loyal to the president, Salva Kiir, some to the vice president, Riek Machar, and we're facing hundreds of people killed in the last 5-6 days since things started late last week, and there's the risk, although there seems to be a bit of a calm today, there's a risk that the civil war, which broke out in December 2013, is about to be reignited again.
For those of us who aren't following this terribly closely, Peter, a couple of things that you've just said are sort of mind-numbing. This is a country that, the last time I checked, had extensive oil reserves. Certainly we've seen in Venezuela, it's possible to be both awash with oil and destitute. But what is going on with respect to southern Sudan's penury? And if you would, just explicate a little bit, what are the dividing lines between these rivals in what may seem to be an incipient renewal of the civil war?
Well, with respect to oil, South Sudan actually, in the split between Sudan and what is now South Sudan, made off with the bulk of the oil reserves that the once united country had. So potentially it could have been a very rich country because there are only about 10 million people in the country and they have fairly significant oil reserves. Unfortunately, because of the fighting the last 2.5-3 years, virtually oil production has ceased because the skilled engineers and other people who would have operated the oil fields have all been evacuated for their own safety, especially after a number of them were killed. So the government, which was reliant upon the oil reserves for some 90% of its revenue, all of a sudden had no money coming in. Now, not that they spent the money that when it was coming in before the fighting especially well. In fact, by the government's own accounting, somewhere between $2 to $4 billion of that money was simply stolen outright by officials in the government.
And with respect to the dividing lines between the various rivals for power, is it anything other than just a fight over who will control the country?
Well, there are ethnic divides, although one has to say always with an asterisk, because there are people of one ethnic group who support factions of a different ethnic. So there's a bit of a mix in it. But roughly speaking, the Dinka, who are the largest ethnic group, rally around the president, Salva Kiir. The Nuer, who are the second largest group in the country, tend to rally around Riek Machar. The vice president, who was dismissed back in 2013, and then has been reinstated as vice president as part of the peace accord. And in fact, the fighting broke out this past week between soldiers loyal to both sides who were closely confined together in Juba, the capital. And they were supposed to be setting up joint patrols and confidence building, but as we see, it didn't get very far.
It must make cabinet meetings a little tricky to have these guys at each other's throats.
Especially since just literally the other day, one general on the president's side used an attack helicopter to level the vice president's house.
Wow. This is
so these guys play for keeps.
Yeah, no kidding. Dr. Peter Pham is our guest from the Atlantic Council. Peter, you wrote recently about how Africa might be looking at the Brexit, the so-called end of Britain's involvement in the European Union, and that it might not be all bad news for the African continent. Give us a flavor of why that's so.
Well, let me first say that in the short term, there's going to be some dislocation, and especially countries that are dependent upon the export of primary commodities and natural resources, that a downturn in the British economy or the broader European Union economy will certainly affect their exports and thus their bottom line. But in the long term, Britain has long been engaged in Africa, not only from the days of the empire, but its involvement with the Commonwealth countries. And so a Britain that's looking for markets will, perhaps pay more attention to its former colonies, to the Commonwealth, and to Africa as a whole, and therefore be more amenable to trade agreements and other outreach to African countries. And quite frankly, some of the English, especially English-speaking countries in Africa, will probably get a better deal in terms of foreign assistance, as well as assistance on security matters, dealing directly with London than they have going through the bureaucracy in Brussels. So it's a mixed bag. Some countries are going to fare worse, but I think other countries may actually see their situation improve dealing with a Britain separated from the European Union.
Well, we'll be watching this closely, especially with evidently the coming to power of Theresa May as the new Prime Minister of Britain on a more accelerated time schedule than had previously been expected. And I'm sure that this will be one of the things that she'll be turning to, is trying to stabilize relations between Britain and its various trading and other partners. Peter Pham, let me ask you about two other very important problems in Africa these days. Boko Haram, for one, and Al-Shabaab, for another. You've been kind to give us sort of progress reports on how the countries in the region are dealing with these respective jihadist threats. What's the latest?
Well, there's some good news in the fight against Boko Haram, insofar as Nigeria and its neighbors have managed to largely push Boko Haram out of any territorial control. So there aren't any regions governed, in quotation marks, by Boko Haram. That's the good news. The bad news is these countries don't have the sufficient force and ability to actually secure the territory they push Boko Haram out of. So Boko Haram is still engaging in numerous, almost daily, suicide bombings and other attacks, which essentially render the territory not controlled by them, but nonetheless very dangerous. So people are not returning to their communities, their homes, or staying much closer to protection in large urban centers. Now, this has caused severe displacement. We estimate about 3 million people are displaced. But more importantly, this means that markets have been disrupted, people are not planting, and so you have a wide swath of Nigeria, Niger, Chad, and Cameroon that in the coming months are going to face a severe food crisis, if not a famine, simply because it's not safe to be out there tilling the land. So I think we're about to go from a situation of Boko Haram as an affiliate of the Islamic State and as a territorial dominion into Boko Haram, the terrorist group, just causing a great deal of humanitarian suffering.
You're following it closely, Peter Pham, at the Atlantic Council. Thank you so much for joining us from time to time to update us on these issues. We look forward to doing so again with you in the near future. We look forward to talking to the rest of you again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Affney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.